In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, we ask your blessings upon us as we continue to learn from your word. May your Holy Spirit guide us, that as we have received the gift of your word, your Son, Jesus Christ, may the Holy Spirit help us always to understand that word that has been revealed to us. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In parts of Galatians as we move forward, the proof of what St. Paul's talking about is going to be shown by the Spirit. So we're already anticipating that theme as we talk about the Spirit of God that has come upon the Gentiles, the Spirit of God that we also receive as well. So we'll start with Galatians chapter 3. We've done so far Galatians 1 and 2, which were largely autobiographical. We heard about St. Paul speaking to the Galatians. We heard about St. Paul's history of his own conversion, the revelation that he received. We also heard about St. Paul's visit to Jerusalem, and then later Peter's visit to Antioch. And all of this was kind of background history to prepare the Galatians, to talk to the Galatians about the struggles that they were going through. So now we turn to Galatians 3. We start with verse 1. You senseless Galatians, who has cast a spell over you? You before whose eyes Jesus Christ was displayed to view upon his cross. Or before whose eyes was presented the Lord Jesus crucified. You might have a couple different versions there. I noticed, depending on your translation, that's a passage, verse 1, that gets translated sometimes very differently. Now we're back to Paul's boldness again. Here we are. Reminds us very much of chapter 1, verse 6. I'm amazed at you that you're so soon deserting the one who called you in accord with the faith of Jesus Christ. So again, he's back to rebuking the Galatians. He's just finished this story recounting how St. Paul had vigorously defended the freedom that comes in the gospel. And so now here are the Galatians who've willingly sacrificed that freedom that came to them as St. Paul preached the gospel. Instead, they have accepted back upon themselves slavery. We heard those themes from before. We talked about the false brothers in Galatians 2 who came in to spy out their freedom so as to enslave them. So here he is, you senseless Galatians. It's interesting he uses this phrase, who has cast a spell over you? Meaning that they've whispered false words into their ears and they've been lulled into accepting this false message that had been received to him. So he refers to it as a spell, like casting a spell, deceiving them in some way. You before whose eyes Jesus Christ was presented as crucified, publicly presented as crucified, or who was displayed to view upon his cross. Now, what does that mean? That seems to be a particularly strange expression because we know that the Galatians lived quite some distance from Jerusalem and from Israel. We also know that St. Paul went to see the Galatians after he went through his conversion, and his conversion was long after Jesus had already ascended back to the right hand of the Father. So how is it that we can talk to the Gentiles about them having seen Christ Jesus as crucified, or before whom Christ Jesus was presented as crucified, meaning that was the gospel that St. Paul was preaching? There is a sense in here, although you have to kind of walk through, depending on how you want to translate that expression. I've sort of said it a couple times, but there's a sense in here in which St. Paul is speaking about the presentation of the gospel as he has given it to the Galatians as presenting to them, manifesting to them in a real, palpable, tangible way, Jesus Christ crucified. That is what St. Paul has come to preach. I mean, we heard the strength of that at the end of Galatians 2. So when St. Paul is there preaching to them, preaching the word of Christ, preaching the message of Christ, when they receive that message, when they are converted, when they are baptized, and when the Holy Spirit comes down upon them, Christ crucified has been manifested to them and has come to dwell within their hearts. I mean, don't we say that about baptism, is that once someone is baptized, they're baptized into Christ. You now are part of the body of Christ. So there's a very tangible sense that even though they were not there in 33 A.D., they weren't there to witness the crucifixion take place, but St. Paul says, this has been presented to you. You have seen this. You have experienced this in a powerful way. You see what I mean? He's very strong on that, and I think it's worth emphasizing just how strong that first verse is. Verse 2, I want to learn only one thing from you. How did you receive the Spirit? We're already talking about the Spirit, which we said we'd mentioned several times tonight. How did you receive the Spirit? So what happened? They received the message. It was preached to them. They accepted salvation in Christ. They were baptized, and the Holy Spirit came upon them. So there was a manifestation. It was like the sign of the completion of this progress of conversion for them. So that the Holy Spirit came upon them was, you might say, the divine seal upon the process of their conversion. St. Paul is the instrument. He preached the message of salvation. But then once they went through baptism, and then once they received the Holy Spirit, it's as though it was confirmed by a divine grace of God. They too have been called by a revelation of God, just as St. Paul was called, as he said earlier, by a revelation. So how did you receive the Spirit? Was it through the observance of the law, or through faith in what you heard? Now, the observance of the law, remember what we've been saying about why the Galatians were so agitated, why they were disturbed, why they had lost their sense of peace. Because St. Paul came in and preached to them Jesus Christ, but then after St. Paul left, in came the agitators, or the Judaizers, or whoever, however you want to describe that group. And they said, well, St. Paul told you some nice things about Jesus, but let me tell you about the tradition Jesus came out of. He was a Jew, and here's what Judaism means. So you have to practice all this law. St. Paul forgot to tell you about that, but you need to know that. That's sort of what the Judaizers had done. So what happened? St. Paul came and preached, and they accepted by faith, and what happened? They received the Holy Spirit. Then later came the Judaizers who said, oh, and by the way, you have to follow all these laws. So how did the Spirit come upon the Galatians? Was it first through the faith that St. Paul taught them to accept, or was it through the practice of the law? It wasn't through the law. That came later. They received the Holy Spirit from their acceptance of the faith in Jesus Christ, not from the law. In other words, it wasn't as though you have to accept the faith, oh, and then, by the way, once you're circumcised, then you get the Holy Spirit. You see how the Holy Spirit came upon them, even though they weren't yet circumcised. A little bit in the same way as in Galatians 2, St. Paul was talking about Titus, and Titus, they didn't make him be circumcised. See, they accepted Titus. So in the same way, the Holy Spirit's already accepted you. The Holy Spirit has already accepted your faith because of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon you. So what more need you add? And so later this effort to try to add the law on top of their acceptance of Christ, St. Paul says that's a contradiction. Verse 3, how could you be so stupid? He's such a nice pastoral person there, St. Paul. How could you be so stupid after beginning in the Spirit? Their first experience of Jesus Christ was with the power of the Spirit. Beginning with the Spirit, you now end in the flesh. Now, I think a lot of times when we talk about the flesh, the connotation we immediately run to is the idea of temptations of the flesh. Okay, but in this case, I'm not sure that's what St. Paul means. When he says you end in the flesh, I think he means in the covenant that is inscribed in the flesh. That's one of the ways that the covenant was described when Abraham was first given the covenant of circumcision. This is in Genesis 17, and we'll talk about that in a minute. So how was the covenant to be marked on Abraham? In his own flesh, through the act of circumcision. So how is the covenant experienced or ratified? In the New Testament way of speaking, as St. Paul is talking, it's in the Spirit. In the Old Testament way of thinking, it was through circumcision, meaning in the flesh. So that's what I think he means. When he says in the flesh, he's talking about circumcision. So that's verse 3. You began in the Spirit, but you finished in the flesh. Verse 4. Have you had such remarkable experiences to no purpose? If indeed they were to no purpose, or in vain, you might have in vain in your translations. So here they were, having had these remarkable experiences. So they had a palpable experience of the Spirit, of the Holy Spirit coming upon them. So here, after they had experienced God in the conversion that they first had, now was this for no purpose? Did they experience this only to throw that away, to sacrifice the new covenant in order to run back to the old? So here's a rhetorical question. Verse 5, is it because you observe the law, or because you have faith in what you have heard, that God lavishes the Spirit upon you and works wonders in your midst? And so he's recapitulating all of those things he's been saying. Verse 1 through 5, how many questions did he just ask? Rhetorical questions. I think he asked 5 of them. I mean, he's just, were you so stupid? Did you do this? I mean, it's just one after another. So you just hear that very purposeful way in which he moves through this, pushing the Galatians again and again and again to ask them why, what was it that they had experienced, and why are they sacrificing the gift that they had received?